You're listening to Goldblatt Career, your podcast for helping you sort things out. In this episode, you'll find out about the impact that a virus outbreak can have in today's interconnected world, and what is to be expected in the global economy. In 2008, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates gave out a warning. The world needs to prepare for pandemics in the same serious way it prepares for war. 2 years later, the world is experiencing another major virus outbreak, labeled as a coronavirus, gripping the world as the death toll and infection count grow by the day. Going back to the year 2003, the so-called SARS coronavirus outbreak infected more than 8,000 people worldwide and caused almost 800 deaths. This alone caused China's economy to plunge by 2% in the first quarter of 2003, reducing from an 8% growth to a 5% growth per year. However, China's economy was much smaller in 2003 compared to what it is today. China had 4% of the world's GDP in 2003. This increased to 15% in 2020, going from $1.7 trillion to nearly $14 trillion, according to the World Bank. This means that it will have a much more devastating impact on the economy. Of course, today, health and hygiene standards have improved drastically in relation to past outbreaks, the most devastating outbreak in humanity being the Black Plague, which killed an estimated 25 million people in Europe, comprising one-third of the population. However, even with our advancements in medicine, technology, and society as a whole, virus outbreaks can still not be predicted, as we have seen numerous times, in part because not all countries enjoy the same health standards, especially in underdeveloped regions. So, how did it all start? The disease, which is officially called COVID-19, appears to have originated from an illegal animal marketplace in Wuhan, China. It is now considered as a pandemic, which is defined as an ongoing epidemic on two or more continents. The first signs of the infection were reported to the World Health Organization in late December of 2019. A month later, they declared a global emergency. Support was immediately given to contain the virus's spread. With just a few cases of the virus being reported in the beginning, in less than 2 months, the virus has already affected around 85,000 and killed close to 3,000. And this is in late February. The exponential growth took everyone by surprise, and those who thought it would only be contained in China were shocked to find cases of it across many countries in the world. The unpredictable results shocked China, the second largest economy in the world, in the midst of an ongoing trade war with the United States, had already been slowing down growth. This quick spread of the virus took hold in the popular season of the Lunar New Year, when hundreds of millions of Chinese planned to travel home to celebrate with their families. Being unable to travel and experiencing difficulties with travel restrictions and flight cancellations to and from China in order to contain the virus. China has been the world's largest exporter for more than a decade. It is much more intertwined with the world economy than ever before. Because of this, the global economy will feel the impact of the virus. Any slowdown in the Chinese economy sends not ripples, but waves across the globe. Since the government has also discouraged mass gatherings, businesses were forced to discontinue work for a period of time to avoid further propagation of the virus. This alone accounts for more than 80% of China's GDP and 90% of its exports. China has imposed lockdowns, factory stoppages, people can't go out and spend money. Goods manufactured in China that would be crossing the ocean and arriving in Europe and the United States haven't happened because of the restrictions in the ports. The fallout from the virus has isolated the world's largest population from the rest of the world, disrupting world trade and supply chains in the process, with tons of companies being affected. Lots of sectors are being hurt by the virus. Airlines, tourism, and basically any company that has anything to do with China. Apple, Nike, Walt Disney, American Airlines are a few cases of the companies affected. More than 200,000 flights have been cancelled in just 2 months since the outbreak. This has highly affected Hong Kong's airlines. People no longer wish to transit through Hong Kong, a really important and strategic place in the Asia-Pacific regions. All major airlines are trimming back their Asian operations, particularly into China. What if the virus keeps spreading? In 2019, China's economy grew just 6.1%, thanks in part to the US-China trade war, its weakest growth in nearly 30 years. As a result of the virus, some researchers warn that China's economy could enter a recession, with two consecutive quarters with negative growth. If it really were to spread far enough and have that much disruption, it could come to a global recession. However, most people just expect a much slower economic growth in the first quarter of 2020. The bulk of the economic disruption has been coming from efforts to contain the spread. Stopping people from traveling, ordering factories to shut down, rather than the costs of the disease. As a result of this, China's government has injected billions of dollars into the financial system as it attempts to restore investor confidence and minimize the economic fallout. The Chinese government can try to step in, but this situation has nothing to do with monetary policy, such as interest rate cuts, increasing government spending, and reducing taxes. It has a rather limited effect from the demand side of the economy. Households are cautious, they're saving more and spending less, with most expenses involving goods and services they perceive to be necessary and dramatically cutting down discretionary spending. Automobiles, consumer electronics, hospitality, and leisure. This lack of trust in the government, highlighted to what's happening in Hong Kong and now this, will definitely prolong the recovery process, an ever bigger challenge for the government. The real problem resides in the supply side. People are unable to get to work, do business, or transport goods. What the government can do is to provide short-term lending for companies that are not getting money coming in since they're unable to produce and sell goods. Chinese and American scientists are starting to develop different vaccines. A couple of dozen companies are racing to find a vaccine. Most of these vaccines have only been experimented in animals since this virus was identified in January 2020, the first time that China put the genetic sequence out for public research. They have to go to a number of trials to eventually reach human trials on a smaller number of people. If they are successful, they'll go through larger human trials. The best time to test this is in the middle of an outbreak, so that they can see how effective it really is. China can recover. The question is whether those people who have been affected want to be as reliant as they are with China. It is the workshop of the world and a cheap place to get things made, but there are alternatives. After this outbreak ends and the residual impact on the globe fades, it's really going to be a body blow to China. Every global company is going to look to reduce its supply chain in China to reduce the risk. In past outbreaks, such as the SARS in 2003, the market fell 12%. With the bird flu in 2004, it fell 6.9%. With the MERS virus in 2012, it fell 7.3%. With Ebola in 2013, it fell 5.8%. And with the Zika virus in 2015, it fell 12.9%. We don't know how much the COVID-19 virus will make the markets fall, since this is changing by the day. A lot of speculators are panicking and selling the stocks, but remember the words of Warren Buffett: be fearful when others are greedy, and greedy when others are fearful. Markets have fallen heavily because of the inevitable economic shutdown caused by the virus. It will return to normalcy once the virus is stabilized. This is a temporary shock, so hold your investments and don't panic. What's more, markets are even lower than usual, which is a good time to invest some amount of money. Always remember one simple strategy. Invest every month in a good market index, such as the S&P 500, regardless of economic ups and downs. When the market is cheap, you have a better incentive to invest, but do it every month on a periodic basis. Never try to time the market. Most important of all, buy and hold your investments and focus on the long term. Of course, you should only invest money that you don't need in order to enjoy seeing how the money grows over time. With all this said, the far more important thing here is to hope for a speedy recovery of the infected and hope for a rapid cure and elimination of the virus. This is a human disaster. We will learn from the mistakes and take the necessary measures to minimize the risk for it to happen again. A quick overview. As Bill Gates said in 2018, the world needs to prepare for pandemics in the same serious way it prepares for war. A virus outbreak forces the paralyzation of economic activity to contain the virus, heavily affecting the economy in the short term and later recovering when everything goes back to normal. A virus outbreak has consequences on the international relationship of the country, with fewer people wanting to travel and fewer companies wanting to do business in the future. Government intervention to boost the economy is not effective since people and businesses are unable to work and consume. If you have investments, do not panic and sell. Once the virus is stabilized, things will return back to normal. If you are investing, just keep investing in the market every month, regardless if it's growing or falling. In a virus outbreak, it is just cheaper than usual. Share with your friends and family if you found this information useful, as it helps me tremendously to keep producing content. Thanks for listening. Until next time.